Thank Brother Jeremy for reading our scriptures this morning. And certainly thank our brothers for leading us in those wonderful songs, Brother Malone and Brother Jason Tony. I believe we all know the importance of being ready. If you want to catch a plane, you got to be ready. You got to be at the gate and ready to board. Otherwise, you have to make other arrangements. The batter in the game of baseball, if he's going to hit, he better be ready when that ball comes to the plate. The job opening that comes along. If you want to get it and have a chance at getting it, you need to be qualified and ready. Time and time again, the idea of being ready is expressed in the scriptures. It is important that you and I be ready to do the bidding of the Lord. Ever since Jesus died upon the cross and was buried in the heart of the earth and rose from that grave on that third day morning, all things have been made ready for the redemption of our souls. Now that all things are ready for us, he has asked us to be ready for a life of service to him so that we might be ready when he returns to claim his own. And you do want him to claim you in the last day, don't you? If he is going to claim us in the last day, then we must be ready. Christians, be ready. The context of our scripture that was read this morning is the idea of suffering. We want to talk about that, but we want to also talk about some other areas that our Lord has called upon us to be ready. And if we fail in these areas, I'm afraid we won't be ready. Christians, be ready. Again, the scripture text in 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy or blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing." Christians, then, we must be ready to suffer for the cause of Christ. And in order to be ready, we first of all got to prepare our minds for it. You know, when you start packing those suitcases, getting ready to board that plane or catch that bus or go on that trip, you got to prepare your mind that what am I going to take? I'm going to pack it and so that make sure I don't get over those 50 pounds so I don't have to pay this extra amount when I get there. You know, you prepare yourself. So we got to prepare our mind for suffering. And if we can just get our minds prepared for suffering, then when it comes our way, perhaps we will be ready to suffer. Listen to what Peter says in chapter 4. of 1 Peter, book of 1 Peter, verse number 1. He says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with what? The same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." What is he saying? He's saying, prepare yourself. Just like you realize that Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He said, arm your mind. Prepare yourself. Christ has done it. You get prepared because you're going to do it also. It's no if, and, buts about it. In some shape, form, or fashion, Christians are going to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now, I understand, and I'm glad, and I'm sure you're glad, that perhaps, at least in this part of the world, Christians don't suffer nearly as bad as the early Christians suffered. But we still are faced with some kind of suffering. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul says it's coming. In some shape, form, or fashion, suffering and persecution is going to come. And that's why Jesus said through Peter, again, "For as much then as Christ has suffered, then you prepare yourself. You arm yourself," he says, "with the same mind. Because he suffered, you're going to suffer." When Barnabas had the occasion to encourage some of the early Christians in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22, he said this. Now, the Bible says this, confirming, that is, Barnabas was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through what? Much tribulation, that's troubles, trials, much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Again, Peter says, you understand now that Christ suffered in the flesh. Now you arm yourselves with the same mind. Christ has told us, as we read his word, as he told the apostles, that the same thing is going to come to you that's coming to me. Listen to what he says in John chapter 15, while he was having that conversation with them at that Passover feast. He had this to say in John chapter 15, in verse number 18, he says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." In other words, nothing is happening to you that hasn't happened to me. Again, I'm talking about, we've got to prepare yourself. Prepare ourselves for suffering. And then he goes on and says, "If you were of the world would love who? His own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." So again, Peter says now, again, going back to 1 Peter chapter 4, you realize that Christ has suffered. I'm paraphrasing that verse. Now you arm yourself with the same mind. You get prepared. So when it comes, you'll be ready. Because again, since it's going to happen to us, as Jesus says, Jesus is expecting us to deal with it and to come through it successfully, because he himself came through it successfully, and he'll help us to come through it successfully. Somebody says, if I had known they were going to talk about me the way they do, if I had known they were going to lie on me the way they do, if I had known that they were going to mistreat me the way they do, if I had known that even some of my own family members didn't want to have anything to do with me because I become a Christian, because I become a member of the body of Christ, I wouldn't have done it. I want to say to you, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, don't give up on Christ. Maintain your hope in Jesus Christ. You would think that your family members would really stick by you. You know, they want family to stick together in everything, but when it comes to when you pull away and start following Christ, start walking in the right way, they're not going to stick with you. Sometimes they're going to say, you lost your mind. You know, the family has worshiped like this, has been a member of this church for all these years. Grandmother, granddaddy, and all of those were members of the church. Now you walking away and you becoming a member of the Church of Christ? What's wrong with you? But you know, Jesus, again, has already prepared us for that. In Matthew chapter 10, he says, some of your foes will be those of your own household, your own family. Sometime will walk away from you when you become a child of God. So again, Jesus said, prepare yourself. The servant is not greater than the master. They did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Get ready for suffering. The good thing, the bright side about suffering is when Paul told Timothy this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 through 12. Paul said to Timothy, it is a faithful saying. It is a true saying. It's a trustworthy saying. For if we be dead with him, he says what? We shall also live with him. Isn't that what we want? We want to live with him, don't we? But then he goes on and says this, if we suffer, we shall, also reign with him. One day, I want to reign with him. One day, we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So I say to us this morning that it's worth every bit of suffering that we go through for the cause of Christ. It's worth every bit that we go through. Because one day it's going to all pay off in glory. So Christians, be ready for suffering. And so when we look at this text again that was read by Jeremy, he says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone or every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is he saying? He is saying when you go through the suffering and when folks come up to you and ask you, why are you going through this? Why don't you just give it up? He said, you be ready to give them an answer as to why you're hanging in there. You know what church history said about a man named Polycarp? They were ready to burn him at the stake. This is in the first century. And they said to him, if you just deny Christ, we'll let you live. He said, for 89 years, he has done me no wrong. How can I deny him now? Polycarp was giving them a reason for the hope that was in him. Christ hadn't done him any wrong then. He was not going to do anything wrong by doing that. But in the end, he was going to be able to reign with Christ in glory. So when they say to you, why do you keep going to the Church of Christ? Why do you keep living right and doing what the Lord wants you to do when everybody else is doing all other kind of things? Why don't you just enjoy yourself? And especially young people, when you get this from your peers, Your mom and dad want you to go to church all the time. Your mom and dad tell you that you need to do right all the time. Why don't you just hang with us and have some fun and just, because you only be young once. You're right, you only be one young once. But one day you're going to have to stand before God. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let your heart cheer you," he says. But he said, "Know for one thing, that for all these things, God is going to bring you into the judgment." What is he saying? He's saying, do right. Don't let anybody tell you to live it up and enjoy yourself doing things that's not pleasing in the sight of God. Because one day, we're going to have to give an account. He went on and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Well, this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring into the judgment every work, along with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon was trying to encourage people to be ready, and especially the young people. Be ready. So when they ask you, why you keep doing the right thing and just won't hang with us, you tell them you got hope in Christ, that one day, Christ is going to take you home to heaven. So he says, be ready to give an answer for our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And Paul gave a reason for his the suffering that he went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talked about suffering that he and the other apostles were enduring. But then he gave this reason why they kept on enduring what they did. Down in verse number 16, he says this. He says, for which cause we faint not. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. For this cause, he says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, early on in the chapter, he had talked about that they were beaten and that they were dying daily for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, he says, is just for a moment. It's just temporary. But it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, for we know. We know, he says, that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. That's Paul's reason for the hope that was in him. That's Paul's reason for keep on enduring the suffering that he was undergoing, because he was looking for that eternal home in heaven. I would say to us this morning, brothers and sisters, when the trials and when the tribulations come upon you because you are a child of God. Now, we're going to have some trials and tribulations, not necessarily because we're a child of God. We're going to get sick. We're going to have to go to the doctor, those kind of things. We're probably going to have some accidents and somebody going to trip and fall and break an arm and those kind of things. All of those are not necessarily because you're a child of God. You're going to have those things. But I'm talking about suffering for the cause of Christ. Suffering for the cause of Christ. When we go through these things for the cause of Christ, we need to always remember that they are just temporary. Trouble, somebody said, trouble won't last always. Eventually, it's going to come to an end. Even if we're suffering for the cause of Christ our entire lifespan, it's just temporary. It's going to come to an end. One day, it'll all be over. So let us then not become discouraged in serving our God. So no matter what they throw at us, because we are children of God, keep on hanging in there. Because eventually, God is going to recompense anybody that persecute us if they haven't got it right. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 4 beginning. He says this, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecution and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that what?
Trouble
you. Folks who persecute us for the cause of Christ, if they don't make it right with God, God is going to recompense them for troubling us. So take comfort in knowing that God got our back. God is on our side. So again, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, hang in there and maintain your hope in God. Paul went on to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flame and fire, with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Paul says again, maintain your hope in the Lord. Because God is going to take care of those that trouble you. Unless they get it right, before they leave this world, God is going to take care of them. So put up with the persecution, put up with the trouble, put up with the trials, because it's just temporary. Don't look at these things as being lasting. Look at the things that are eternal, Paul says. Look at that home in heaven that we're trying to get to. And we've sung about how beautiful heaven must be. Keep that in your mind. And keep on pushing. As somebody, one of those singers in the former days says, keep on pushing. Keep on pushing toward that goal of heaven. Because again, trouble won't last always. In this life, we will have temptations and trials. But Jesus says, John 16, verse 33, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And if Jesus has overcome the world, if we follow Jesus, we'll be able to overcome the world through him. Not by ourselves, but through him, we can overcome the world. So Christians, be ready for suffering. Be ready to give an answer. But then a couple more things as we hasten on that the Lord wants us to be ready for. Be ready for every good work. The Lord wants us to be ready for every good work. Why does he want us to be ready for every good work? Well, number one, that's our God-ordained purpose, is to be engaged in good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in who? Christ Jesus unto or for the purpose of good works. When we were baptized into Christ, when we became a member of the body of Christ, our sins were washed away, yes, but we were also baptized into the body of Christ so that we could do good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. Paul said this to Titus. He says, who gave himself for us that he might do what? Redeem us from all iniquity and do what? Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He redeemed us from our sins, yes. But he purified us also so that we could be a people that was ready for every good work. So he goes on and tells Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1, he tells him there, put them in mind to be ready for every good work. Are you ready for every good work? Notice the word every good work. Not just one or two good works, but every good work that come along, you need to be ready for it. Now, you yourself may not be able to do every one at the same time, but you ought to be ready for whichever one you have the opportunity to do. Be ready for every good work. You're to be zealous. I've said this before when we were talking about the scripture, that the elders, the preachers, the deacons, the group leader shouldn't have to beg people to be involved in good works. When there's a good work to be done, people ought to be saying, let me do it. Brother Stone talked about teachers. It's been in our bulletin for a long time. We need teachers. Somebody said, well, I'm not qualified to teach. Well, how did you learn to do anything that you learned to do? You had to first start doing it. So take the necessary steps to try to get qualified to be a teacher or to be a song leader, to be even a preacher, because I'm not going to be here forever. One of these days, you're going to need another preacher. The elders are not going to be here forever. Young men need to start thinking about developing themselves so that they can be an elder. Even the older ladies are not going to be here forever to encourage the young ladies. So the young ladies need to be able to step up to take their place. I'm talking about the good works that we can be involved in. The reason why perhaps people hold back is because they're not ready. They're ready for you to do it, Brian, but they're not ready for themselves. But I believe the scripture was talking to every Christian in that congregation where Titus was. Put them in mind to be ready for every good work. And not only be ready to just do it one time, but he says continue to do it. Look down at verse number 8. He said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to do what? Maintain good works. That's continuous. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14, he says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works. We need to be continuing good works. And you can never do too many good works. The more you do, the more God is glorified. Somebody said, we just do too many things. If they're good works, let's keep doing them. You can't do too many good works. Lastly, this morning, then, we need to be ready for the Lord's return. I said earlier, as I referred to John chapter 14, that Jesus says he's coming back. And we need to be ready for the Lord's return, because indeed he is coming back. Somewhere in the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus said it, and then two angels said it. That's three witnesses that he's coming back. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in Acts chapter 1, two angels said that he's coming back. Jesus was about to depart from his apostles, and he's having his last conversation with them. And the Bible says, while he was talking with them, he left them, going back to heaven. Look at what the scripture says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Picture this, if you will. I'm standing here, and I'm talking, and they are considering what I'm saying. You are considering what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, there I go. That's the picture you have. While he's talking to them, he ascends into the heavens. And then the Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus, not another, but the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him going into heaven. So we have Jesus saying that I'm coming back. You got these two men, which were angels, saying he's coming back. I believe that qualifies in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established, or let every word be true. So Jesus is coming back. No doubt about it, he's coming back. But the thing that we need to be recognize is that we don't know when he's going to come back. I know we've had predictions all around. He's coming back this time. He's coming back that time. And he hasn't come back. Not one of those times. And the reason why is because, of course, first of all, God is not ready for him to come back. He may be ready this afternoon. He may be ready in the next few minutes. But at least right now, at least since I say it right now, right at this point, he hadn't come. But he will return when we least expect it. He will return when we least expect it. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44, teaches us that in an hour that we think not, that the Son of Man will come. This happened, you know, to the foolish virgins. Y'all remember that in Matthew 25? There is a parable, if you will, or a story of what the kingdom of heaven is like. You know what the kingdom of heaven is, don't you? It's the church. Jesus says the church is going to be like this. Five were wise and five were unwise. That tells me in the church you got some unwise folks. I hope this morning none of us are unwise. They went out, the Bible says, to meet the bridegroom. And while the bridegroom tarried or delayed his coming, the Bible says they went to sleep. But at midnight, when the cry of the bridegroom was made, they got up to trim their lamps. The five wise ones took extra oil. The unwise one didn't take any extra oil. They cried out to the wise one, give us some of your wise and all. We can't do that. Because if we do that, that won't be enough left for us. I want to tell us this morning, I don't have enough righteousness to give you some. You don't have enough righteousness to give me some. All of us are going to make it to heaven on our own individual righteousness. There's no borrowing righteousness around here. We've got to go to heaven on our own righteousness. Because of Jesus Christ. When I say own righteousness, I'm talking about because of Jesus Christ. So they couldn't get this oil. They said, no, you go and you to them that sell and you buy your own oil. And the Bible says this in Matthew 25 and verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. One day, brothers and sisters, the door is going to be shut. Afterward, the Bible says, came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's a sad statement. I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That scripture is teaching us, brothers and sisters, that we need to be ready. Amen. We don't need to be like the foolish virgins. We need to be ready by doing the Lord's bidding. I open up by saying the Lord wants us to be ready to do his bidding. Whatever his will is, we need to be about the business of doing it. No, we don't know the hour that he will come, but yet his return should not catch us by surprise. Well, look like we would be surprised, Brother Brad, since we don't know when he's coming. Look like we'd be surprised. Well, the scripture says it shouldn't catch us by surprise. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1 beginning. The Bible says, but of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You don't know when he's coming, but you know he's coming. So when he comes, it shouldn't take you by surprise. No, I don't know when he's coming. But when he comes, I will not be surprised because I know he is coming. So I'm saying to us this morning, brothers and sisters, let's not be slothful in doing the will of God. And we look up one day, and he's coming, and we say, oh, I didn't know he was coming. That surprised me. He's already told us that he's coming. So it should not take us by surprise. We should, the Bible says, watch and be sober. Again, verse 5 and 6 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, you all the children of light and the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us do what? Watch and be sober. I'm encouraging all of us to be watchful and to be sober. And one way of being watchful is being ready for the Lord's return by doing his will. Knowing then that he will return, and knowing that everything in this world as we know it will be destroyed, it ought to motivate us to live godly and holy lives so that we will be ready. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since we know he's going to come, since we know this world is going to end, then we ought to be motivated to live holy and godly lives. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If we don't live holy and godly lives, when he comes, we won't be ready, and we won't see the Lord. He's coming back to receive the church and present it to the Father. The question is, will you and I be ready? He's going to deliver to God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 28. He has only one church. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says there is one body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says the body is the church. Ephesians 3 and verse 6 says God wants everybody to be members of the same body. Will you be ready when he comes? Being a member of the church then means that we need to be faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. So as I close this morning, make sure that you are ready for his return by staying ready all the time. Don't let Satan tempt you to take time off and become lackadaisical in your efforts to please him. Because if we do, we're going to be in trouble. One last scripture as we close. Matthew 24, verses 45, and a few verses following. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler of his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed or happy is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, if we're not doing the Lord's bidding when he comes, we're going to be some sad campers. The person that's blessed, the person that's happy, is going to be doing the Lord's bidding. The scripture goes on in the next passage and says, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You know, they were saying that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where's the promise of his coming? Everything still remained the same, you know. But he goes on to say, God is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness. He's long-suffering. The reason why God is delaying sending his son back is because he's a long-suffering God. He wants everybody to repent. He wants everybody to be saved. And we ought to be thankful that God has given us time. But the scripture says, and he shall begin to smite. The Lord's delaying his coming. He ain't coming back. He began to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkard. The Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What you think that's talking about, brothers and sisters? That's talking about hell. If we are not doing the Lord's bidding when he comes, heaven won't be our home. That's why we got to be ready and stay ready. That's why we got to continue to be doing the Lord's bidding. Are you ready for the Lord's return? You know he's coming. Shouldn't catch you by surprise. You don't know what day, you don't know what hour, but you know he's coming. So if I stay ready and you stay ready, we won't have to worry about when he comes. We'll be ready. Christians, be ready. The Lord is coming. Are you ready today? Are you a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament? If you're not, you're not ready. You need to become a member of it. You need to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. The Lord will then add you to his church. Then remain faithful. And the Lord says, I'll give you a crown of life. Remain faithful unto death. And when Jesus comes, you'll be ready. And so we don't know when he's coming. But we know he's coming. Many have died, and he has not come. But if death comes to us before he comes, that's the end for us. So we need to always be ready, because we don't know when we're going to die. And we don't know when he's going to come. So if you're not a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you to come. Become a member. Before it's everlasting and eternally too late. If you are a member of the body of Christ, but you've become lackadaisical, slothful in doing the Lord's will, not as faithful as you ought to be, we want to encourage you to rededicate yourself. If sin is in your life, we want to encourage you to repent. You need to confess. Why not do that this morning? Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, we want you to come right now while we stand.